Thank you, John Gakandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
And here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabweans stage a protest in Harare demanding swift government action in finding abducted political activist Itai Dzamara.
Today, it marks 17 months since my husband was abducted. It's really a painful day because I don't know where my husband is. I don't know what they did to him. Or is this still alive?
Lawyers press the state to drop charges against 10 women protesters.
And the Mighty Warriors are set to go back home following a poor performance at the 2016 Olympics Games in Brazil.
Today, as I speak, we are at the Olympic shooting range where Mike Nicholson is shooting in the double trap. Currently, they've done three rounds.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Several people converged at Africa Unity Square today to press the government to find abducted political activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square, who disappeared 17 months ago. Reporter Patricia Mudadigwa has more details from Harare.
Patson Dzamara, the brother of Itai, Justina Mkoko of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, who was once abducted by state security agents, and several other activists said they would hold such events until the former journalist-cum-protest leader is found. Riot police, known for their alleged heavy-handedness, today left Africa Union Square after some children who participated in the event tried to give them flowers and cakes as a sign of love. Dzamara said they decided to bring children to ensure that they are not attacked by the police.
We gather so as to pile pressure regarding Itai's abduction. And so today we did something that's unique. We came along with our children, and they came with flowers and cakes to give to the police. That in itself actually nullified the propensity we have always seen the police manifesting insofar as wanting to disrupt and also turning brutal as far as the protesters are concerned. And so it really worked. We went to them together with the kids in order for the kids to give them the flowers and the cakes, although they refused. But that worked in the sense that they actually did not do anything to us.
Itai's wife, Shefra Dzamara, told Studio 7 that she's living a painful life with her two minor children who no longer have a father. She urged the government to release her husband.
Today, it marks 17 months since Itai Dzamara was abducted, since my husband was abducted. It's really a painful day because I don't know where my husband is. I don't know what they did to him. Or is he still alive? But I want to say to the abductors, if you can't bring back my husband, back to his children, back to me, please, you are free to come in, the abductors also.
Derek Frey, an activist who used to engage in protests together with Itai Dzamara at Africa Unity Square before his abduction, said they will continue to mark the vision and spirit of Itai Dzamara.
We are here not just to demand that they tell us what they have done with him and return him dead or alive, but also to celebrate his spirit and his vision, which is that of Zimbabwean citizens standing up for themselves and reclaiming our Zimbabwe and our rights constitutionally, peacefully, and with determination.
Stanley Jorwadza, the chairperson of the National Vendors Union, who led the young children to hand over the flowers to the riot police that were at Africa Union Square, warned the government to desist from abductions.
Today, we want to warn the government of Zimbabwe to desist from further abductions. And we are saying enough is enough. We have seen in past years the government was not being challenged, but this era, this phase, citizens have joined up, they've risen up above a certain bar.
Itai Dzamara was abducted on March 9th In 2015, after calling for the resignation of President Mugabe for allegedly failing to run Zimbabwe. Although the courts instructed state security agents to investigate Zamara's disappearance and give his family regular updates of their findings, Patson Zamara claims that the police have defied the court order. Police spokesperson Charity Charamba was not reachable for comment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
Lawyers representing 10 women facing charges of public nuisance after they staged a protest at the venue of an international cricket match over the weekend in Bulawayo today applied for refusal of further remand at the magistrate's court, arguing that the women have no case to answer. Correspondent Aurai Shava brings us more from Bulawayo.
One of the lawyers, Solomon Guni, representing the 10 women through the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, told Studio 7 that they had decided to apply for the refusal of further remand, as in their view, the women did not commit any crime.
The facts at this stage, they don't disclose an offence, because in our view, we are saying if they are to prove those facts anyway, which we don't accept. The facts at this stage did not disclose an offence because they are said to have demonstrated, and demonstrating in our view is not an offence under the current constitution and the current law, and that it would be inconsistent with section 59 of the new constitution, which allows picketing, demonstrating and petitioning the government.
The 10 women, including Jenny Williams, the director of the Women of Zimbabwe Arise, or WOZA, were granted free bail when they first appeared in court on Monday. They were arrested on Saturday when police broke up a demonstration by a few dozen picketers outside the Queen's Sports Club featuring a cricket test match between Zimbabwe and New Zealand. The activists, most of them wielding placards denouncing President Robert Mugabe's government and the state's intended move to introduce bond notes, protested outside the sports club before police arrested some of them. Nguni said he also filed a formal complaint to the court about the conditions of the cells in which the women were held, as well as the fact that they were forced to remove their underwear while in custody.
We were challenging the conditions of the cells in which they were detained. Obviously, you would recall that there are several judgments by the Supreme Court and the Constitutional Court where they set down minimum standards of detention of accused persons. So we filed that application today and substantiated our complaints against the police, and we expect the court to make a ruling on the 22nd of August, wherein those issues that we've raised will be ventilated.
Prosecutor Nkatazo Dlodlo told the court that he would have responded to the accused's application by next Monday. Magistrate Batanai Tuwe said he would give a ruling on the application on August 22nd. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shawa.
The national spokesperson for Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First Party, Jealous Mawarire, says he has been summoned by Zimbabwe Republic Police's Law and Order Department over Twitter exchanges he had with Higher Education Minister Jonathan Moyo yesterday. Mawarire says he was supposed to report at Harare Central Police Station this afternoon but failed to do so because his lawyers were engaged somewhere. Mawarire tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri he strongly believes his summoning is the beginning of a suspected state clampdown on social media.
When I tried to find out whether I was coming in as a suspect or as someone who was going to give them evidence on something that they were investigating, they said, just come. You get to understand why we've called you when you are here. So I told them I was coming in around 2 p.m. and I was busy looking for a lawyer to go with. And I couldn't secure one, so I later on phoned them that I was handing myself in tomorrow at 10 a.m. But until now, I don't know why they're calling me in.
And did they explain to you who this Jonathan Moyo is?
He said, Minister Jonathan Moyo. So I think there's only one Minister Jonathan Moyo, who is the Minister of Higher Education.
But did you have any interactions with Minister Moyo in the past days that may warrant your summon?
Yeah, the only interaction that I had with him was yesterday on Twitter. I just commented on a discussion that was going on about the Auditor General, and there was a discussion which was touching on the inaccuracy of the reports by the Auditor General. And I just threw in something and said, if the Auditor General's reports are not accurate, what about the accusations that you are facing from the Anti-Corruption Commission on the selling of Kingston's building in Chinoy Street? He never responded to that post, and I didn't go any further.
Do you think this may be the start of the clampdown on social media that the government has been promising?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think for the past week, they've been talking about clamping down on social media users and crafting of a bill to regulate the use of social media, which I think, in my opinion, is foolish.
That was Zimbabwe People First spokesman Jealous Mawarire on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. At the same time, political activist Linda Masarira, facing charges of engaging in so-called violent protest last month, called by Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag and Tajamuka Ses Jigile campaign, was further remanded in custody today by Harare magistrate. Her lawyer, Obey Shaba, speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri about the court case.
We're at court today with the case of Linda and nine others. The state sought a postponement of the matter to another date on the basis that it was not ready to deal with the trial. We opposed the application mainly on the basis that the state was not taking the court seriously. The state should have put its house in order, given that the matter initially appeared before the magistrate court a few months ago, and by all indications, all investigations are now complete. So there is no reason for further postponing this matter without going to trial. And indeed, the court agreed with us that the state was not taking the court business seriously. So the state was given an ultimatum of 7 days within which to put its house in order, failing which the court will remove the accused persons from remand.
What allegations are being leveled against the 10?
They are facing allegations of defeating or obstructing the course of justice, in that they prevented the police officers from effecting an arrest on Patson Zamara and his company, who were facing allegations of robbery.
That was Obey Shaba, a lawyer representing pro-democracy activist Linda Masarira, speaking there with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
In a related development, the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe will embark on a 200-kilometer march next week from Murewa District to Harare in protest of political violence against its members, poor salaries, and failure by government to improve rural schools. Tungamili Nkomo of Studio 7 reached the Union Secretary General Robson Chere for more.
We are saying enough is enough. We want salaries which are above the poverty bottom line. We also need an upward review of the rural allowance, because currently the rural allowance is being pegged at $11, which is just nothing. We need the cessation of the non-transparent pension contribution. This year, the government introduced a pension contribution of about $40. They only deducted without even inquiring, without even consulting the stakeholders, I mean the teachers in this case. So we are saying that $40 is too much, and we are marching against that. We also need the restoration of vacation leave and full maternity leave for teachers who are on probation. We also need a proper infrastructure. Most of the teachers in the rural areas, they are staying in dilapidated infrastructure, some of them sleeping in barns or classroom offices. We also need to an end to all victimization or any form of violence which is happening to our members. The rural teachers is scattered all over Zimbabwe, and we need also a solution to the cash crisis ravaging our economy.
You are talking about violence directed towards rural teachers. Where is it coming from?
The ZANU-PF militia youth. You know, for example, let me give you, last month we had a strike. It was for all civil servants, but most of the rural teachers, I can tell you, they were victimized by ZANU-PF youth.
That was Robson Chere of the Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe speaking with Ntungamili Nkomo from Studio 7.
A Some youths believed to be suspected ZANU-PF supporters have invaded Goroa Farm No. 8 in Tengwe, Mashonaland West Province, owned by the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association Secretary General Victor Matemadanda. Matemadanda was recently arrested for being part of a group of former freedom fighters that wrote a scathing communique claiming that President Robert Mugabe is to blame for Zimbabwe's current local economic and political problems. Reporter Arthur Chigoriwa has more details.
Matemadanda told Studio 7 that the 60 youth invaded the farm on Saturday, allegedly under the instructions of Urungwe North ZANU-PF Member of Parliament Sarah Mahoka, who has declared to clamp down on anyone that criticizes the president. Mahoka and ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo were not available for comment as their mobile phones were unreachable. Matemadanda confirmed that his farm has been raided by the youth, though Mashonaland West Police spokesperson Inspector Clemens Mabrazara could not shed light on the issue. Matemadanda claimed that the police have failed to deal with the invaders, adding that it is unfortunate that the farm is being used to settle personal and political scores. He said what the youth are doing is an indication that the land reform program is not for ordinary Zimbabweans but for ZANU-PF members only.
Those that are loyal to the president and the party, can we deny that? Because it's like this land reform is not for Zimbabwe, but it's for ZANU-PF.
ZANU-PF political commissar Sevya Kasukuere recently told a party meeting in Karoi that his party would take back farms of people who abandoned the former liberation movement, like recalled ZANU-PF Urungwe West Member of Parliament Temba Muliswa. Matemadanda and most of his colleagues, that include war veteran spokesperson Douglas Mahia, are on $300 bail pending trial for undermining President Mugabe after they issued a communique calling the president to step down. Most of the war veterans boycotted the main event to mark Heroes Day in Harare yesterday, which was addressed by President Mugabe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
The deadly protests that rocked Ethiopia in the past week stem from a diverse host of regional grievances, but they reflect a shared sense of marginalization that may be bringing two of the country's largest ethnic groups together, analysts say, warning that there could be more unrest on the horizon.
Violence hangs like an ominous cloud over the national elections in Zambia, a copper-rich, landlocked Southern African nation that has been recently battered by drought and economic wars.
And military drones have played an important role in the fight against the so-called Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, but a Swedish church has a new idea for them. The Evangelical Livets ORG, or Word of Life Church, plans to use drones to drop thousands of Bibles over Syria, hoping they will lead some Muslims to convert to Christianity.
ZimCollector.com, a company that offers financial and insurance services to Zimbabweans in the diaspora, says the current economic environment can work in favor of Zimbabweans living outside the country if they utilize online services offered by their organization. ZimCollector Business Development Director Zelina Francis says the organization has also launched mortgage services, giving Zimbabweans in the diaspora an opportunity to own properties at home at zero deposit.
ZimCollector is Zimbabwe's first recognized online comparison site for financial services, and we're very proud to have brought together the top financial services brands for banking and insurance to give Zimbabweans anywhere on the in the world, as long as they're internet connected, the opportunity to compare quotes for insurance and buy online. And in addition to that, there's the opportunity to apply for bank accounts and mortgages, which previously would not be possible before our platform was alive.
So what new products do you have available, especially for Zimbabweans in the diaspora?
For Zimbabweans in the diaspora, of course, we have the traditional insurance products, which is motor, home, funeral, medical insurance, and travel insurance, obviously importantly for the Zimbabweans in the diaspora, but most importantly the banking products, which are with the current challenges that are being faced in Zimbabwe, the opportunity for you to have that bank account open so that you can send funds over to Zimbabwe and do as you wish with them because you now have the online banking facility. You can open that account whilst in the UK, in the USA, wherever you are, online, and we'll guide you through the entire process. And we have the regulatory authorities' approval to do that. And then, very importantly, there's the mortgages side. We can help you through the process for acquiring your mortgage. But very exciting new developments are that on top of that mortgage product that we have, we now have partnerships with some of our financial institutions to market their properties. So we've got a very exciting property development that Old Mutual is marketing, a partnership with CABS and Old Mutual Properties, and that allows you to purchase a property on a rental basis where you actually do not need to put in any deposit as long as your income qualifies you to be able to purchase that property because they will measure out how much you need to pay on a monthly basis. You go through the criteria, you qualify, and you can actually move into a property and start paying your installments without having put down a cent for the deposit, which is generating a lot of interest from Zimbabweans. There are quite a number of properties available, but they are going quickly. So we're encouraging people to please, if you're interested in a product like that, get in your first home, get online to zimselector.com and do contact our customer services, which you can do from online or dialing our number, which is Harare's 2634-480817. It's Harare's 2634-480817.
You talked about the challenges that are currently facing Zimbabwe's banking sector. Is that not affecting your business that you're currently doing with Zimbabweans in the diaspora?
Well, it's affecting in a positive way because what it is doing is forcing Zimbabweans to look for creative ways to actually continue doing their business. So instead of sending money to a cousin or a relative or a friend to actually go and conduct their business as Zimbabweans traditionally have been doing, we're giving them and empowering them with the opportunity to actually do those transactions on their own. So all they need to do is get onto our platform and, you know, buy their funeral insurance or buy their parents' medical insurance. Or once they've opened that bank account, deposit that money and then get online and do your banking transactions electronically, because most services would be able to accept those banking transfers, etc., in which case the need for actually sending cash via a Western Union or traditional market is no longer as important as it was previously. We're giving them that alternative, and that's what we're leveraging and saying, Zimbabweans, take advantage of this new way to buy. Be creative. It doesn't mean the end of the world that you don't have access to the cash. We're giving you that opportunity to use electronic money.
So for those who would like to get in touch with your organization, where do they find you?
Easiest way to get hold of us is via our website, which is www.zimselector.com. On there, there will be a contact us form or feedback form, which you can complete, and then we'll get right back to you.
That was zimselector.com, a business development director, Zelina Francis, speaking to Studio 7 from the United Kingdom.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chioniso Jani, your host for Time to Engage, where the voices of Zimbabwe's youth are heard. Today, joining me in the studio is Gift Mambipiri, media researcher and scholar. Hi, Gift. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Chioniso, for inviting me to your show.
How is your stay here in the United States?
It has been a whole learning experience, and I hope to take the lessons back home.
What has been an eye-opener for you in terms of the Mandela Washington Fellowship that you attended?
Mandela Washington Fellowship brings together more than 1,000 young people from different parts of Africa to meet, interact, and learn from each other. And there are very many important lessons that one can draw from that experience. As Zimbabwe, a country of about 15 million in a continent of more than 1 billion people, at times in our narrow-mindedness, we tend to overplay our capacity to influence global politics, international trade, and international relations. we are merely 15 million, for heaven's sake. And when we choose to sulk and disengage because of our dead politics, thinking everyone else would die or suffocate because we have chosen to do so, then we always get it wrong. The world does not stop because Zimbabweans, in their narrow-mindedness, are minding about their politics, and therefore the world would cease to exist and operate. No. We are a relatively small country, a footnote in international development, and the better we realize that and cooperate with others, the better. The concept of leadership is all about creating opportunities for others so that they prosper and move on with life. And that's one great lesson that we observed from President Barack Obama.
Can you share with us the views right now on what is happening in Zimbabwe?
There are important lessons that we draw from what is happening in Zimbabwe right now. There is a clarion call for leadership renewal, leadership change, for democratic principles to be upheld in the country. And what we learn from there is that you cannot really keep a people under an authoritarian rule and hope to survive in 2016. People are clearly expressing their views and ideas around a new leadership and a development dispensation, and the regime in Harare has been very unkind and unwilling to bend. But you can only oppress people for so much. Hence, you see the sporadic uprisings in the streets of Harare from in the streets of Zimbabwe, from Harare to Bulawayo, Mutare, Mashengo, Gweru. Everywhere, people are crying out and people are stretching their arms, wanting to do something. And the government has no option but to give in to the people's demand. If they don't do it sooner, then they will be forced to do it in a very harsh and unkind way.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Chiwoniso Jani. It was nice talking to you.
And that was Gift Mambipiri, media researcher and scholar. And I am Chiwoniso Jani on Time to Engage.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's mighty warriors are heading home tomorrow after losing 6-1 to Australia yesterday in a 2016 Rio Olympics game in Brazil. The team was thrashed by Germany 6-1, then Canada 3-1 before yesterday's match against Australia. Zimbabwe Olympics press officer Merit Muzwembiri says all eyes are now on gold medalist Kirsty Coventry, who takes to the pool tomorrow, seeking a place in the finals in her signature event, the 200-meter backstroke. She, however, cautioned that Coventry has some tough competitors in the race, as the swimmers are getting younger and faster each Olympic event.
We are at the Olympic shooting range where Mike Nicholson is shooting in the double trap. Currently, they've done three rounds, and there are two more rounds remaining, and he is currently ranked at number 20 out of the 22 entries that are there. It's quite a very competitive slot of entries, considering it is also featuring the record holder Great Britain, Tim Kinley, and there is also a number of very good shooters there.
And also, we saw the Mighty Warriors falling yesterday to Australia 6-1. What is their fate now?
The provision that the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee and Team Zimbabwe as a team has put in place is that whoever is done with their event will be going back. So the Mighty Warriors will be leaving Salvador, going to Sao Paulo, where they will then connect to go to Zimbabwe and probably arrive on Friday afternoon around 1 in the afternoon or around 12 in the afternoon. Then we have equestrian Camilla Kruger and the coach. They are leaving tomorrow, going back to Britain, where they are resident, to the UK. And then we also have Gavin and his coach. Gavin is the archer. He's also going back. So as events complete, part of the team will be leaving.
And who is left in Team Zimbabwe that you are hopeful will bring home the medals?
We're still looking forward to tomorrow's 200-meter backstroke for Kirsty Coventry. She'll be going in tomorrow for that event in the morning, and then the semifinals are in the evening. It looks a little bit hard, but we are positive that she might pull a surprise because this has been her signature event. We have Maikin doing rowing. She will be back on the 13th for the semifinals. She is a very potential candidate for us to go for a medal finish.
That was Zimbabwe Olympic Committee Press Officer Merit Muzwembiri at the Rio Olympics in Brazil.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk when we'll be talking about human rights issues in Zimbabwe. That's it for tonight. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a very good night.